Hey, you guys. You are listening to the OCRAP Potty Training Podcast, and I am your host, Jamie Glowacki. I am the author of OCRAP Potty Training and OCRAP, I Have a Toddler. Coming at you today with the cold that is sweeping the nation, so I'm going to do my very best to not hack my way through this podcast, but my voice is a little raspy, I'm a little stuffy, and forgive any nose blowing that may transpire. So if you're new to my podcast, and maybe this is the first episode you're listening to, I am going to start every podcast with this caveat and warning about potty training. Please, please, please allow yourself a lot of time to potty train your child. There is a myriad of three-day potty trainings. I was just on YouTube today and I came across this. Potty train your kid in 3 days, guaranteed, effortless. It's such BS, yeah? This is a physical skill that has to be learned, and it is best learned at home with primary caregivers, with the people who love and care for your child the very most, and that is you. And so many parents back themselves into a corner by giving themselves 2 or 3 days to do this. And the more days you have at home, that is the best predictor of success for your child. Potty training is not a transferable skill in the beginning, as no physical skill is. When your child learned to walk, they were not ready to hit the trails with roots and rocks. They were not ready to run a marathon. It works best in very easy conditions where all things, all stars are aligned for your child. And then they can make bigger steps out into the world, different restrooms, different situations, but it's best learned at home. And again, more parents just back themselves into a corner by giving themselves a strict allotment of 2 or 3 days. And then the child has to go back to daycare or another caregiver and it all falls apart. So the more days you can string together, the better. I know this is challenging. It's challenging if you're single. It's challenging if you both work outside the home if you're married. It's challenging in these financial times where you may be having to work 2 jobs or have a side hustle, right? It's hard to find the time off. I understand that. I'm giving you this warning, particularly now, because a lot of parents do choose to potty train over holiday breaks. And I know that sucks. It's like, who wants to spend Christmas break, right? Like potty training, but it is really the best time. Whenever you can carve out that time, that is the best time to potty train your child. So often people are like, oh, this, that, and the other thing's happening, or, you know, my kid's this age. Yes, 20 to 30 months is the best time to potty train, but more important is when you have some time dedicated to this milestone. The next warning I'm going to give you, on the first day or two of potty training, very often kids have like performance anxiety about pooping. It's very, very common to not get a poop in that first or second day. But if your child seems to be withholding, and I mean, obviously needs to poop, won't sit on the potty, kind of runs away from you, maybe they're lethargic, maybe their behavior escalates, please get my pooping solutions course immediately. Poop is best fixed. Any poop issues that come along, they're best fixed early on. And what happens is parents want to give their kids a good opportunity. They're like, well, we'll wait and see what happens. But the longer you wait with poop struggles, the more ingrained the struggle becomes. So that's just my across the board warning that I think I'm just going to give every podcast. So today I want to jump in with anything special. And so we seem to be getting hit with a lot of, comments on social media, emails, anything special that I have to do if X, Y, and Z happens. So I wanted to run through the major categories that this applies to. So number one is there anything special I need to know for kids under 20 months? Remember, my age range for potty training is 20 to 30 months. And that is because there's a developmental lull in those months, right? Your child's pretty much mastered like eating and walking, and now they're going to refine those skills, get better at those skills, right? Make it more transferable so they can walk on different surfaces, right? They can eat in restaurants, maybe. They can get the fork to their mouth. They've mastered separation anxiety usually. And so nothing interesting now happens developmentally until around 3 years old when that process of individuation happens. Individuation is when your child recognizes they're separate from you and they now have free will and choice. This is the age of threenager, right? Because teenagers go through a similar psychological process. This is blossoming personality. This may be the most challenging time of your parenting. I know myself, I thought I was parenting. I could do it blindfolded, hopping on one foot when my child was two. The day he turned three, it felt like the devil himself moved into my home. So 3 years old is very, very challenging. And so because of all this behavior and blossoming personality that is developmentally appropriate, no matter how challenging it is to us, the parents, we do not want to put pee and poop on top of that. Your child can control very few things in their lives. It feels like they're always in control because sometimes they could be little tyrants, right? But they're not. They control very little. They can control when they speak. They can control what they eat. When they eat, they can absolutely refuse to eat, right? And they can control their bodily fluids. So when we put this on top of blossoming personality, it can be very, very difficult. So 20 to 30 months is like the sweet spot. But plenty of parents potty train before 20 months and plenty of parents potty train after 3 years. So do you have to do anything special? No. What you do have to do is adjust your expectations. So before 20 months, you're going to see a lot less behavior. It's going to be a longer learning curve though. So what I find before 20 months is it's very challenging to do this if your child's in a full-time daycare situation or even a part-time daycare situation. This is better suited for a stay-at-home parent because the learning curve really can be closer to 2 weeks. Now, 2 weeks is hardly any time at all. In our immediate gratification culture, we want everything to happen yesterday. And in this world of effortless potty training in 3 days, which again is such BS, it can feel like 2 weeks is a lot. But the learning curve is just a little bit longer because your child doesn't have quite as much cognition as they do when they're three. If you have the patience and you have the time and you can do that, then that's the only thing different that you need to know. You want to be able to master them getting their clothes on because that's often something we forget about. But other than that, there's nothing different about the potty training process, particularly as it's laid out in my book. Now, is there anything special about older kids? The flip side of that, there is going to be very little learning. I haven't met a neurotypical three-year-old who is unaware that they are peeing or pooping. However, they're going to be probably more challenging in the behavior department. There may be more power struggles. There will be that blossoming personality. And so that's what you're trying to finesse. It's not really about teaching about, you know, potty training and where pee and poop go. That's already in there. It's more about what's going on in the habit of wearing a diaper and a lot of maybe resistance or power struggle. And that, again, is the only thing different you need to know. Other than that, it's exactly as I lay out in my book. Is there anything special for kids with disability? So this has come up quite a lot. So it's really hard for me to make a blanket statement on the podcast about disabilities because there are so many different kinds. But what I would say across the board is a major factor, of course, is your child mobile? Can they get to the potty by themselves? So if your child's in a wheelchair or they can't walk or, you know, maybe missing a limb, they may not be able to get to the potty. And so you're going to teach them to tell you, to signal to you. And so that's a major component because a lot of times people will write to me with various disabilities and it's like, okay, number one, can your child get to the potty on their own? And that's just going to shift according to what special needs your child has. Now, then we factor in cognitive disabilities, right? So if your child is emotionally delayed, developmentally delayed, cognitively delayed, what we would look at is typically in these situations, you already have a team in place. So I would definitely say to your OT, number one, first and foremost is your OT. Is there a reason my child can't potty train? So in our world right now, we often ask the wrong question, which is like, can my child potty train? And you'll often be met with very negative stories like, well, you could try, but you have to understand that, you know, it may not go well for you. Other parents have experienced, you know, X, Y, and Z difficulty. And while that can be helpful, it can undermine your knowledge of your own child. So I've worked with many, many families with disabilities or cognitive disabilities or Downs or whatever. And the parents like, no, I know my kid can do it. I know this, like I know in my heart of hearts, but then they get sort of skewed by other people's opinions that their kid is going to fail. So if you know in your heart of hearts, I think the better question to ask your child's care team is there any reason why we couldn't do this? And then you'll be getting a better answer, I think, which is like, okay, well, they have low muscle tone, so that can really affect their ability to hold and consolidate pee. Okay, great. That's good information. Depending on, again, what your child has, and I've been recently hit with some really rare conditions in kids, and I couldn't possibly know them all. And of course, I'm not a doctor, so I do as much surface research as I can, but I can't give like really specifics with these rarer conditions. But I always say, like, go with your adjusted age. So whatever the disability is, whatever sort of issue you might be dealing with, is where is your child's adjusted age? So if they're 5 and they have cognitive delays and disabilities, but their adjusted age is say 2.5, they're still well within potty training age range. So that's what I would look at. The rarer the disease or disability, I do find that most parents have support groups either on Facebook or forums where other parents have led the way, so that you might get some support there. And again, I find with all these things, you as the parent know your child best. And so you communicate with your child in a myriad of ways, not just with words, but with nonverbal communication. And you know them best. And so if you feel like they are capable of potty training, it can be hard to navigate some of these groups and forums where there may be a lot of naysayers or a lot of people sort of highlighting their negative experience. And that doesn't have to be your experience. Like, just because your kids have the same rare condition doesn't mean they're going to develop the same way. So it's kind of this weird, tricky ground to navigate, right? Where you think your child's capable, but everybody's telling you they're not. In that case, I would say, fuck them and go for it. You know what I mean? Because it's, again, don't make the mistake. Not every Down syndrome baby is the same. And not every kid with autism, especially, like, autism is this like phenomenal spectrum. I have never worked with two autistic people that present the same way. They all have their own flair, their own flavor, and it's kind of getting to know their quirks. But I would say anything special for these kids with disabilities, rare conditions, any sort of diagnosis, what I would absolutely suggest is a consult. If you can swing a consult, I would absolutely go for that, because one-on-one help from an expert is really going to help. And if you just go to jamieglowacki.com under get help, I have certified experts. I have a couple who are really specialized in neurodivergence. They all sort of specialize in something. So I would say that is going to be absolutely your best bet. And that way too, when you're working one-on-one, you can loop, you know, if it's me or one of the certified experts, you can loop us in with the care team. So that way we're all working together. And I think that's the most helpful. Anything special is for neurodivergent. And I've talked about this before, but it bears repeating, especially since because of diagnostics and more awareness, there's way more neurodivergent people. I think more people with that label, I guess. I don't know how to phrase that. But the thing with neurodivergence is we have to look at, again, the wide spectrum of what that means. And typically when we talk about neurodivergence, we are talking about the autistic spectrum. And again, I have been asked to write a book on neurodivergence. I've been asked to give really broad spectrum things. And I can't. Again, I've just never worked with two kids who present the same. And I think the wonderful thing about our realization about the spectrum right now is that it is so wide and it's so fantastic. And it's really getting to know your child, their quirks, their flair, their flavor, their idiosyncratic stuff. And so there aren't any really broad things I can say. Except one. The biggest thing I've noticed in my private work with kids, neurodivergence kids, is that it is transitions that are particularly hard for them. They get very tied to routine. They get very tied to black and white thinking, which is also very toddler. They get very tied to the way things are. And so making a big change, like giving up a diaper and now going to the toilet, is a huge change. So that transition can take a really long time. And so that's just one thing I think to be aware of, which is, it's just going to be it's a longer transition, but that doesn't mean it's not going well. It just means you have to a lot more time, and hopefully you're in a school situation or a team situation, you know, with caregivers where your child doesn't have to like have this cut and dried, like they're potty trained today and that's that. I also have noticed for, and again, this is a huge generalization, but for most kids on the spectrum, I have really noticed that rewards can actually work. You know, I'm dead set against rewards for potty training, but it can actually be helpful for some kids with autism. And again, this is where their black and white thinking is kind of awesome and it can help us, is that, you know, it tends not to be a manipulative, power hungry tool that a lot of kids can use it as. That's why I don't like rewards. It starts to, the kids want more. It becomes a runaway train for a lot of kids. Whereas I think, you know, more neurodivergent kids, because of their black and white thinking, it just becomes an easier, cleaner transaction. And I think that can be really, really helpful sometimes. But know your kid, because again, every kid's got their own flair and flavor, and some kids can absolutely manipulate the hell out of it. And then it just gets really sticky for us, the parents. And then the last anything special is, of course, anything special, anything different about multiples. And the difference with multiples and potty training a single kid is that you need, in the first day or two especially, you need a pair of hands per butt. So however many kids you have, you need a pair of hands per kid, so that if, you know, if you have triplets, they all need to be at the same time. It'd be very, very challenging for one person to do that. It's done. I know it's done. I have a lot of people come back to me who have quads, who have, you know, triplets, and they're like, oof, it was brutal, but I did it. But it really is helpful. Even if you're paying like a neighborhood kid to be a mother's helper on a Saturday, it doesn't necessarily just have to be a grown-up. It's just, you got to keep, I mean, if you have four, if you quadruplets, it's like there's kids everywhere, man. Right? So you just need somebody tracking each kid. I also have found that with multiples, there's always like an alpha. There's always a kid, even with twins, there's a kid who one of them is always like a little ahead physically, or maybe more outgoing. And there's one who kind of hangs back, and parents always think it's the more outgoing kid or the kid with more physical skill. They think that kid's going to get it lickety split. And it's almost always the opposite. It's almost always the quieter, the more introverted, maybe less physically skilled kid. That kid almost always ends up getting it like kind of slick behind the scenes. And the parents are like, wait, what happened? One of the things that happens with multiples is they're not going to be even. It's wild, right? This just goes to show you, even within the same household, same parenting, all the same parameters, if you have triplets, you're going to have three different experiences. It's not going to go the same for each kid. What I would say is that if one or more of them seems to be getting it and one or more of them doesn't, always go with the kid who's getting it. If you need to re-diaper the kid who's not getting it first, that's okay. Go with the kid who's getting it, because you'd rather sign, seal, and deliver one of those kids and get them potty trained and off your table of worry. And then you can focus on the other kid, even if it's a couple of months down the road. So what most parents run into is a situation where they might have help for the first 1 or 2 days, and then a parent is by themselves with multiples. And so it just gets crazy if they're all not getting it at the same time. And so you're in survival mode anyway with multiples. So put your life jacket on. And if you need to re-diaper one of them to help out the one who is showing more success, do that, because again, you'll get that kid out of the way, and then you can focus on the one who's having a little more struggle. All right, that's it for today. I hope that was helpful. Generally speaking, across the board, as I laid out everything in Okra Potty Training, you can always use that as your foundation, no matter what. No matter what your special circumstance, you can go again to your child's care team use my book as an outline, as a basis, and then adjust for whatever your child's situation is, whatever your family situation is. There's just such a myriad of special circumstances, rare diseases, disabilities, sickness, diagnoses, like all kinds of things that, again, I've been asked to write a book for special needs, and I just can't. I can't because it's so varied. And I would imagine like writing a book claiming to know everything about special needs, and then like here comes a mom with a kid with a rare condition, buys that book, and then she's heartbroken because I don't have her situation. So I think it would be a great disservice to pretend that I know everything about every kid and every situation. I don't. What I do know is I'm really good at one-on-one, and so are the experts on my page. Again, that's jamieglowacki.com under Get Help. And if you do have some sort of extenuating circumstance, the best thing you can do is get some help, because that one-on-one is just going to be fabulous. And again, it's so great when I can work with an OT and a speech pathologist, and I'm working with everybody on one kid's team, it just becomes that much more powerful for the child. As always, you guys, I super appreciate you listening, and God bless. Have a great day.